Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Israel Shomrei Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our 13th installment on Megillas Esther. So we were discussing yesterday the scene when Ahasuerus wakes up in the middle of the night or can't sleep and looks at his record book and he sees that Mordechai was the one who found out the plot of Bigson and Seresh to kill Ahasuerus. So the language in the Pasuk is Vayimotzei Kasuv. And it was found to be written that Mordechai did this. So if you remember the Malbim we were discussing yesterday, the Malbim says this is the point here. Ahasuerus was stunned. It's not just that it's written that Mordechai did it and he hadn't been rewarded. That's not the only shock. The shock is it was Mordechai? Over time, I was under the impression that it was Haman. So Ahasuerus is sitting there, kind of gathering his thoughts, not only distraught by the fact that he hasn't honored Mordechai properly, but quite concerned that Haman is being dishonest with him. And then, lo and behold, you know, start the background music, who shows up? Haman! Which, of course, we've all been there, right? Imagine if you're thinking about someone in a negative way, and, you know, maybe you'll calm down. If they walk in the door at that very moment when you're having negative thoughts about them, this is not going to be good. Presumably, Ahasuerus is aware that there's some back and forth between Haman and Mordechai. So this, of course, just increases and inflates the honor that Mordechai should be given. And not only the irony for us as listeners to the story, but probably even for Ahasuerus. Yeah? You're going to give me the impression that you did a kindness for me when it was really someone else. You're going to lead that person through the city, calling everyone to his honor. And in general, this moment is looked upon as really the beginning of an hapochu, things turning around in favor of the Jews. But just with this little sidebar, the irony becomes even greater. Just fascinating to think about. Haman comes home to tell his family of what has transpired with his having to give honor to Mordechai. And the Malbim also has such an interesting twist here. The Malbim says that the pshat in that is they shouldn't be concerned. All they know is Haman left the house wanting to have Ahasuerus's agreement to publicly hang Mordechai. And next thing they know, Haman is leading Mordechai through the streets, screaming out, "This is what's done for a man who the king wishes to honor." So he's concerned that his family is concerned that the plan has absolutely backfired and absolutely been rejected. So he's coming home to put them at ease. "Don't worry, it was just a fluke. I didn't even get a chance to get out the words that I want to hang Mordechai. Once I do, I'm sure it'll go fine." And to that, the response is, if you look at the verses, the response is they tell him, you know, "You're going to fail." Because they, how they had this wisdom, who knows? But they were able to begin to see the hand of Hashem intervening on behalf of his beloved Jewish people. But even so, Haman does not see it. And now Haman gets called away to the feast. Of course, we know at the feast, Esther reveals to Ahasuerus that there's this man who wants to kill her and her people, and it's Haman. There's a famous phrase, "V'Haman Nivas," and Haman was like panicked or shrunken, a very dramatic wording, before the king and the queen. Just to share with you the Malbim, just on the political reality of the moment, the Malbim says that if it would have been Haman with either one of them alone, it would have been okay. If he would have been alone with Ahasuerus, and Ahasuerus would have turned to Haman and said, "So is it true you want to kill the Jews?" He would have gone on and on to explain how terrible the Jews are. But he can't do that because the queen is standing right there. The queen has just revealed she's a Jew. And if he goes on about how awful the Jews are, she's going to crush him then and there. There's nothing to talk about. He can't do that. Now, if it would just be Esther with him alone in the room, he would say, "I'm so sorry. I had no idea you were a Jew. I'm going to rethink the whole thing." But with Ahasuerus there, he can't say that because he went on and on to Ahasuerus about how terrible these Jews are. So if they're really so terrible, there's no way you'd rethink the whole thing. So it must be that you were lying to me originally. Don't forget the backdrop that Ahasuerus has just caught Haman in a borderline lie because he realized that Haman gave him the impression that Haman's the one who saved him from Bigthan and Zeresh. And therefore, Haman realizes he's really stuck because both of them, both the king and the queen, are there at the moment, which gives you a greater appreciation for the wisdom of Esther calling them together to this feast and gives you a greater appreciation for God's orchestrating of the events in general. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.